Chance talk a little SEC football, bowl season, and more. Cole Kublik, football analyst with the SEC Network. He's also a co-host on the show Three Man Front down in Birmingham for Jocks 94.5. Cole, as always, welcome back. It's always fun talking football with you.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Hey, when we look at the bowl season, one of the things when I'm looking at these matchups for the SEC, it's always interesting to me when you see, in this case, so many matchups where it's the first time, you know, these teams have faced off against each other. I mean, we get that here in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl featuring Auburn and Purdue. It's the first time those two teams have seen each other on the field. Same thing applies to Texas A&M, North Carolina State, Iowa, Mississippi State, LSU, Central Florida, and more. That's one of the things that I love about bowl season, a chance to sometimes get the first-time meetings between two programs.
Oh, it's very cool. I mean, different matchups are fun. We get to see our conference matchups every year, and then obviously they rotate, and they're a little bit different. But to be able to get different teams playing each other, and when you, especially like you mentioned with LSU and Central Florida, when you get different styles going up against each other, that becomes very intriguing to me. So, I agree with you. One of the reasons that I'm a fan of the bowl seasons as well.
As far as you brought up LSU, Central Florida, as far as the FBS teams are concerned, in then maybe take that one step further, the Power Five conference programs, how many fans are pulling for LSU in that Central Florida contest?
How many fans are there?
No, I mean, how many fans as far as of these programs are be pulling for LSU to stop the nonsense with Central Florida?
I think there's probably a lot of fans nationally that will be pulling for LSU, but I think there's also fans that want the little guy to continue to do well and want Central Florida to get their shot and maybe believe that another win against an SEC team in the bowl game would further that opportunity one day. So I'll tell you this, it's a bad matchup for LSU, in my opinion. I don't feel good about it at all. You can talk about a backup quarterback playing, but this is a team that has one receiver reads, not even half-field reads, quarter-field reads. The receivers on the backside of the play and the reads don't even run routes to save energy because they go so fast. They can score quickly, and you're going to be without Christian Fulton and Greedy Williams on the back end of that defense. It's just it does not spell a good matchup for LSU. I'm more concerned with that matchup than any other SEC team in any bowl.
Cole, the first team out from the SEC that's playing in a bowl, you'll be actually a part of the broadcast as Vanderbilt plays Baylor. This is in the game, of course, in Houston. And this is only the third time these two teams have taken the field. And you, nor myself, we weren't around the first or second go-around. First meeting between these two programs since 1954. Baylor holds a 2-0 lead as far as the series. How do you think this one plays out? You know, to me, I think the difference, especially as far as like a Kyle Shurmur, who had a bad taste after the last bowl game for Vanderbilt losing 2 years ago, I'm sure he doesn't want to wrap up his Vanderbilt career with a loss. I think that extra motivation that he will help bring to the table and everybody else saying goodbye for Vanderbilt, to me, I think is the difference maker in this one. How do you see this game playing out?
No, I agree. I feel good about Vanderbilt in this game. Obviously, when you have senior leadership and you have guys who have been around the program, I think it makes it a little bit easier for you to be successful in bowl games just because you have guys that understand it, that have been there, and it means a little bit more to them. They know how to prepare. They know what to expect. I think when you've got really kind of the four-headed monster offensively with Pinckney, Lipscomb, Vaughn, and Shurmur, I think Vanderbilt should be able to score. And I think Vanderbilt's defensive line will have success pressuring the quarterback. Baylor offensive line is not very impressive. Now, they do spread it around. They're going to pitch it around. They're going to score some points. So I think that's where the ball control offense that Vanderbilt can utilize really comes into handy. Limit the amount of possessions that Baylor gets. Hope for a mistake or two. Vanderbilt has been better in the turnover department. It's an area that Baylor has struggled. So I feel pretty good about the Commodores' chances in that game.
When the announcement came around as far as the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, Auburn versus Purdue, my first thoughts, I like this matchup. I think this, if both teams show up, I think this is going to be a very entertaining game for the fans. I mean, you don't have to be a fan of the Tigers or Purdue to enjoy it. The question will be, however, will Auburn, especially what happened to them last year in the Peach Bowl against Central Florida, will we see a different Auburn team this year as far as showing up to take on Purdue?
I don't know. I mean, the offensive line was shaky in that game against Central Florida, and that's been the weak point of this football team this year. Now, I don't think that Purdue's front seven is one that can consistently cause a lot of problems, but I would expect a lot of points in this game. Rondale Moore's a guy that, if you don't keep track of, can produce explosive plays at any point on the field. And what's the Auburn offense going to look like? Not just the offensive line and are they better, but what's the design going to look like? What's the play calling going to look like? Gus Malzahn's taking this back. Chip Lindsey is gone. You have a new offensive coordinator in Kenny Dillingham, but he's not going to call plays. Jared Stidham's on his way out to the NFL draft. So I have a lot of concerns just about what to expect. I don't know what the Auburn football team or offense really is going to look like. There's a couple guys on defense that have NFL decisions to make. Now, that could become a bit of a distraction. You're obviously – it's a bit of a letdown as far as where you are compared to where you thought you could be at the beginning of the season. So really good opportunity for Purdue to take advantage of some of those things.
Next time out for you, you get to be a part of the broadcast for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. A nice matchup with Florida taking on Michigan on December 29th. And it's a, you know, two teams that we've seen each other, against each other over the last couple of years. Last year, they began the season against each other. Michigan, this is the first test for them since they were embarrassed by Ohio State. It's a team that for the entire year, they were trying to make us forget what happened in week one against Notre Dame. And just as they you started buying in, they get embarrassed, especially in the second half against Ohio State. And then Florida, you know, they looked good against Florida State in their final game. But then again, it was a very bad Florida State team. Certainly Dan Mullen looking from a standpoint of some extra momentum going into 2019. He would love to find a way to end 2018 on a high note. How do you see this one? This is, to me, a really tough game to call only because you don't know how Michigan is going to be impacted by the way they played against Ohio State.
I agree. And especially when going into that game, Michigan's defense is what we all knew was going to be elite. And then all of a sudden against Ohio State, it did not look elite and didn't appear to be that way. Florida's got guys on defense. I know Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has decided he's going to move on to the NFL, but there are elite pass rushers and there's elite athleticism and speed all over that defense. That could be a big problem for Michigan. The offensive line didn't play great football this year. They can still play bigger with their personnel, but they're an offense that has gotten a little bit more explosive, but I don't know if they can take advantage of what Florida's capable of doing, speed-wise and athletic-wise. So I think that if Michigan's going to win this football game, it's going to be on the defense. They're going to have to cause problems for Felipe Franks, and the run defense is going to have to be stout because I think if there's an area that Florida believes it can lean on, it's going to be with the run game with Jordan Scarlett and LaMichael Pirine, even though the offensive line has been a bit of a letdown this year. The wild card in all of this is Emory Jones, and we expect him to have a role. We expect him to play. Dan Mullen's been saving this last game because he still want to redshirt him, but what's he going to look like? What's he going to offer? How dynamic can he help that offense be? That, to me, may be the difference in this game.
You know, in your gears, not just from a playing standpoint, but now that you've been covering student athletes from this perspective, you know, what goes off in your head when you have some of these conversations and trying to figure out, because, you know, it's tough for fans to understand at times why their favorite team, their particular team didn't show up as far as for a particular game. And whether you're a fan of, say, what Auburn did last year against Central Florida, I mean, every year there's always an example of several teams that, you know, we didn't get the best out of that team for whatever reason. You know, why is it from a mental standpoint you think, okay, last game, certainly they should be able to get themselves motivated enough to go out and have an outstanding game. What has that been like for you in your conversations with some of these student athletes?
Well, I think it's motivation, it's maturity, it's experience, it's reward, it's expectation. All those things play in. Leadership, really, though, in my opinion, is what counts the most. If you have guys who can help rally the other guys on the team, help them expect what's coming, and get them prepared for what it's going to be like, then that gives you a better chance to ultimately be prepared for these games. So I think when you look at teams that have veteran leadership, that have guys that have been around the program, maybe that have been to other bowl games, that gives you an inherent advantage. Now, you can also flip that around and say there are other guys that maybe hadn't been to a bowl game in a long time, and it's that much more of a reward. They're that much more excited to be there. They have that much more to prove, and that gives them a little extra motivation. But I'll still stand by, you know, leadership and experience are two key factors for why teams are either successful or less successful in bowl games.
Cole Kublik with the SEC Network joining us. You know, a good example today, the news that Benny Snell Jr., and it's not really a huge surprise, announcing, declaring for the NFL draft, but, oh, by the way, he will be playing in the bowl game, unfinished business. And it's comments like that that makes me believe that Kentucky, you know, if this was a regular season game, probably would have leaned towards Penn State in this matchup. But knowing we have, you know, a leader like Benny Snell talking the way he is and knowing the impact that he had, especially throughout the regular season over the months of September and October for Kentucky, also the fact that they can do something that's only been done twice before in the history of Kentucky, and that is to reach double-digit win seasons, I kind of like Kentucky now just because of that extra motivation here in Benny Snell and his comments today.
That's a part of it, but I actually think it's a pretty good matchup for Kentucky. Good offensive line. Logan Stenberg, Drake Jackson, Bunchy Stallings can be able to get a push. You add C.J. Conrad to that. It's not a big, heavy Penn State defensive line. I think they can control the game, control the tempo of the game, maintain possession, keep the ball away from Trace McSorley, and then you got a guy like Josh Allen who's going to be rushing the passer, which is a big advantage. So I think the back end matches up well with Mike Edwards and Chris Westry. So I think that this is a Kentucky defense that plays a lot of bend but don't break, but is also very opportunistic and understands when big plays are needed and has guys that can make them. So I think Kentucky wins that game. I actually like them. I think Penn State's had a bit of a down year, not a lot to play for. And like you mentioned, history is on the line for Kentucky, and that's a huge motivating factor.
Georgia versus Texas in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st. You know, we talked earlier about a Michigan team getting embarrassed against Ohio State. Don't know how they're going to be impacted. Well, here's a Georgia team that, you know, you can look at examples over the years, a team that wanted to be somewhere other than where they are. Certainly Georgia, and I truly believe, too, that they're one of the three best teams in the country. They, you know, you can make the argument they had a chance to play for it when they lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. So the question will be, which Georgia team shows up? Are they going to be motivated? Are they going to be ready to go? See, I think we'll get the Georgia team that is angry. I think they're out to serve notice that they certainly are one of the best teams in the country. I think we get that version of Georgia. Time will tell, but that's what my beliefs, and I feel like Georgia is certainly going to be in a position to handle Texas quite easily.
I agree. I think And think about the fact that with the extra time, Ben Cleveland, Cade Mays could now be healthy for that Georgia offensive line, which only makes them more formidable. And this is not a Texas defensive line that has a lot to brag about. Brecken Hager's a guy that gets a lot of publicity, but he also gets pushed around a lot on the edge. And I would assume Georgia's going to run for a lot of yards in this game. Defensively, they match up well on the back end. And the Texas offensive line is not one that can take advantage of a Georgia D-line that's just flat out not as good as they have been the last few years. I think the teams that are able to do that are teams that have a good offensive line, have a good run game. I don't think Texas can do that. I'm with you. I think Georgia has a comfortable victory in the Sugar Bowl.
Cole, Alabama, Oklahoma, one of the two semifinal games on December 29th, this one in the Orange Bowl. Everybody just assumes that Alabama is going to blow out Oklahoma. And so I kind of look at it from the other standpoint. Okay, how can Oklahoma keep this close? I expect Oklahoma to have some success, obviously, from an offensive standpoint. Alabama's not going to shut down Kyler Murray, although I know they're motivated. They've been sending out the tweets after Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy. I get all of that. But, you know, to me, there's a reason why Oklahoma is in this position at 12-1. Do I expect Oklahoma to win the game? No. Do I expect Bama to win by double digits? Yes. But I don't think it's going to be a 3-touchdown or 4-touchdown blowout. I'm looking more along the lines of a 10-to-13-point win for Alabama. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to be a blowout because I think Oklahoma gets theirs. I think they score. I think they can find ways to take advantage of that Alabama defense. And if Oklahoma's going to get stops, they need help. They're going to need mistakes. They're going to need interceptions. They're going to need incomplete passes on third and down, and they're going to need just essentially Alabama performing the way they did against Georgia in the first half of that game. That's the only way that I see them really being able to hang, but I think they can keep it respectable just with their offense. Bama's going to get a couple stops. It's just a matter of can Oklahoma get a few. Oklahoma's going to get theirs on offense as well. I like the way the offensive line matches up. If they had Rodney Anderson, I'd be even more confident because I think they'd give him more of a downhill run threat. But Kyler Murray's the guy that makes good decisions. He's accurate, has elite escapability, and I think they'll be able to protect him because I think Alabama sits back. Alabama's going to play cover three, cover four, play some quarters too deep, and I don't think they go over the top with blitz packages and try to pressure him because from what I've seen, when Kyler Murray's pressured, he makes you pay, and he makes good decisions, and they come up with explosive plays off blitzes. So I think Alabama plays more bend but don't break, forces Oklahoma to work their way down the field and hopes they can get a few mistakes along the way.
I know Georgia scored 28 against Alabama, but guess what? They didn't score in the final 27 minutes and 39 seconds against the Crimson Tide after they scored that touchdown early in the third quarter. In 30 seconds, other side of the coin as far as the semifinal matchup, Clemson, as they take on Notre Dame, how do you see that one playing out?
I don't think Notre Dame has the speed or athleticism to hang with Clemson. Now, physically, yeah, they can match up okay. They can do some things. I like the Notre Dame defensive line. The offensive line with Sam Mustipher at center has played pretty good ball this year. Ian Book's been great since being inserted at quarterback. But I think athletically, this is not even close. This kind of reminds me of Ohio State-Washington a few years – Ohio State-Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game last year. Like, you will see a completely different level of athlete when these two teams get on the field. So I think Clemson in a comfortable win.